Hey everyone, this is Eileen Laird, and today we'll be mapping meds versus no meds on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be talking with Eileen Laird. Eileen is a writer, podcast host, and autoimmune warrior who is living a vital life with rheumatoid arthritis through a combination of diet, lifestyle, mindset, and medication. She's the author of the book, A Simple Guide to the Paleo Autoimmune Protocol, and the creator of the Paleo AIP Instant Pot Cookbook. Her popular blog, Phoenix Helix, receives over 1 million unique visitors annually. The phoenix represents the ability to transform. The helix represents the power we have over the expression of our genes. Merging straight talk with inspiration and information, Eileen strives to help us all live the autoimmune life well, which is why I always appreciate my conversations with you. Welcome to the 15-Minute Matrix, Eileen.
Hey, thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
So as you noted, Eileen, we will be talking today about meds versus no meds. And this is a huge conversation. And I want to first point out that you are talking about this as a patient and a patient advocate, not as a physician. So can you speak into your unique experience on the matter to kick us off?
Sure. So for our listeners, I have rheumatoid arthritis. And when I was diagnosed, I was terrified of medication and pretty adamant about not taking it. And I would say I didn't even consider it early on. And then that led me to looking at alternatives, which led me to a lot of wonderful ways to reduce inflammation and calm down my immune system naturally through diet and lifestyle and mindset, which worked really well, but never put me into remission. And eventually, a few years into this way of living, I started experiencing permanent changes to my joints. And that was scary. And that was enough to get me into a doctor's office and start having a medication conversation. And I have now been on medication for a little over a year, and combined again with that diet, lifestyle, and mindset that I work on to keep my inflammation down and my body peaceful, I'm experiencing remission for the first time in my life with this disease. So any patient who has this fear, I totally understand where they're coming from. And I don't even regret the choices that I made along the way, but medication was the right choice for me eventually. And of course, I do ask myself the question, if I had gone on it sooner, would I have less joint damage? On the other hand, I always saw it as an either or choice when both was the right answer.
I want to come back to this fear of medication or people feeling like they failed. So I'll just bookmark that for a second. But I always like to say, Eileen, that I'm a yes and clinician. Mm-hmm. And that means that I'm not against medication. I think a lot of people assume that those of us who work in diet and lifestyle modification or who take a more holistic approach are against medication, or especially those of us who work in the food arena, maybe food is medicine and, you know, there is no other medication. And that's, it just can't be like that. There are benefits to modern medicine and intervention that we'd be foolish to ignore. Yet there are some medications that I do believe do more harm than good in most situations. So when we talk about to med or not to med, do you have any opinions on what classes of medications that we're talking about, or is it really unique to the individual from your vantage point as a patient advocate?
Gosh, it's so complicated. You know, I really do think it's unique to the individual. I'm taking immunosuppressant biologic medication, which is pretty strong stuff, and it's medication that a lot of people warn against in the alternative health community, and it's the medication that has helped me the most. The milder, quote-unquote, medications that I tried first gave me a lot of side effects and no benefit. So alternatively, I've written about this on my blog and gotten lots of, you know, literally hundreds of comments from readers who shared their experiences. And some of the medications that gave me negatives and no positive gave them positive and no negatives. So I do think it's probably N equals one. You know, we're all so unique. But I don't know what medications you specifically feel cause more harm than good. I think all practitioners maybe have a different opinion on those.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. And we'll link to some of your writings about going on medication in the show notes for sure. And I think what you're saying is it really is individual. And that's the importance of the functional medicine and functional nutrition approach, that we look at every body as an individual. We take into account all of their life situations, their antecedents, their triggers, whether this medication is a mediator for their symptoms or not, and we pivot as we need to. Something I think you're really great at exploring, Eileen, is stress and the stress that a patient has when making this decision. And we all know that stress alone can become a trigger for further pain and suffering. So I'm wondering if you experience stress about this decision and what you see in your reader community when making this decision.
Oh, an overwhelming amount of stress. I mean, so much fear that I was going to hurt myself in countless ways if I took this path. So for me, I think working that through, I worked through it kind of educationally and research wise, instead of just believing some of the thoughts I had in my head about medication, I looked at it a little more carefully. And I think part of what happened to me is when you do look at the studies into medication, it will show you quite clearly for most medication that it actually doesn't work for the majority of people. So then you think, well, what's the point? And what I didn't think about was that doesn't mean that no medication works for the majority of people. It means that most of us need to try more than one medication before finding the one that works for us. And that was true for me. So that reframe was really helpful. I did a lot of mind-body work related to my fears. I saw a counselor who helped me move through that to get me to a point of curiosity instead of thinking I knew it was going to happen. I'm sure you talk to your students and other practitioners about the nocebo effect, which can have the reverse of the placebo effect. And I didn't want my fear to make the medication not work. If I was going to make this choice, I wanted to give it the greatest chance of success. So when I took the medication, instead of thinking, I hate this, I'm scared, this is damaging, instead, when I took the medication, I had a mantra, this will either help me or it will teach me. And that was not a scary mantra, and that was true. I paid close attention. When a medication did not go well, I didn't continue to take it. And when I found a medication that did work, I was very grateful. So now when I take the medication, I actually say thank you every time.
I love that. You know, I experienced with my husband as he was going through radiation and chemotherapy that he had to do a lot of visualization. So, you know, here we were set up to believe that everything he was doing to his body and putting into his body was toxic, and yet he had to receive it in a positive way, like you're talking about. So I love that you put a mantra in place. I know he had to do visualizations about what positive effects the medications or the treatments were having on him. And this brings me to this other scenario that I see a lot in clients, which is that they think they've failed if they've had to take medication. And I think my situation, my personal situation, is very similar to yours, Eileen. But how did you get over that hump of feeling like everything you had done and that you believe in, it's what everything, it's all, what all your work is about, wasn't enough?
Yeah, it's almost a crisis of faith in yourself and you know, food is medicine and healing lifestyle shouldn't be a religion, but I think we all go through a phase where it feels like one. So yeah, it felt like a crisis in faith where I questioned everything. And again, I just had to, I write in my journal a lot, and that kind of helps me clarify, get through the kind of what I'm thinking. Is it true? Is it not true? And the truth is that the diet and lifestyle changes I made a difference that wasn't just in my head, and it wasn't a small difference. I think when it didn't make the complete difference, it's natural to go, well, what's the point? And none of that matters. But when I sat down and really thought clearly about my experience, that's just not true. It did not cure me, but it certainly helped me. And when I decided to go on medication, my philosophy was, I think some people do just say, well, forget it. I'm just going to go on medication and not do this other stuff anymore, because that would be easier in some ways. But I wanted to give my medication the best chance to work. And I think the less I take care of myself, the more it has to overcome, and possibly the less successful it would be. So I still see myself a partner in my healing, but I no longer put pressure on myself to be magic.
You know, from my experience having Hashimoto's, one thing I realized for myself was that everything I was doing with diet and lifestyle modification was actually helping me to feel good. I no longer felt symptoms. But when I peeked under the hood and looked at my lab results, I could see how hard I was making my body work to feel good. And that was the point where I decided to take some medication to support myself. What about testing? I know you and I have spoken on your podcast about testing, and I'll link to that episode in the show notes as well. What's your stance on testing in order to determine the needs for meds or particular meds?
Yeah, I think it's pretty important, and the type of testing you do is there's going to be some common testing that we all do, and then specific testing, you know, related to your diagnosis. And quite frankly, I was open to like the functional medicine testing, and I really didn't want the rheumatologist tests because I knew what they would tell me. Mm-hmm. And so there was some denial and a little bit of head in the sand there for me. But I think that if we really want to be honest with ourselves and know what's going on in our body, it helps to have both of those, you know, all that data to help work. And for me specifically, it was interesting with the functional medicine. I think a lot of people look under their hood and find a lot of things that are triggering their autoimmunity, you know, on many different levels. And my functional labs came back pretty fabulous every time. I mean, not perfect because no one's perfect, but like tiny minor changes, which makes sense because I was feeling pretty great. I just wasn't in remission. And so what it finally came down to for me is I had addressed everything I could address except conventional treatment for rheumatoid arthritis, which was what I have.
Right, right. And I know you and I are very much aligned in the arena of doing everything we can do. So it's, you know, what do I do to support myself the most? So it's not that either or, take medication, ditch the diet and lifestyle, or the opposite, as we both uncovered for ourselves. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd share with practitioners who are facing clients or patients who are struggling with this decision, what you think about community around these decisions or support. Of course, those practitioners can send those patients to this episode to hear us both talking as patients and, you know, as practitioners or clinicians. What recommendations do you have for practitioners who are seeing these patients?
Yeah, I think all of that is good. I mean, starting off as a practitioner and not being anti-medication is the baseline I would recommend, because that's not true for all practitioners, as you know. And then to be the calm port in the storm when they're frightened and working their way through this decision. The internet is a fabulous place with lots of great information and lots of scary information. And we all kind of have confirmation bias, right? So if I think medication is going to harm me, I can Google that, and it's not going to take much before I find proof to support that theory. And so if someone's needing this, if you can be a calm, thoughtful, objective observer and support, that's really helpful. And then, yeah, sending them to these types of conversations that are more balanced instead of the ones that are more extreme in either direction. Because you can online, you'll find plenty of people who say diet, lifestyle, mindset don't matter too.
Right.
But thankfully, there are people like you and I, and my guess is your listeners, who are just wonderful people in the community who have a more holistic view. And you can really help calm someone down, and then they can make the best decision for themselves.
Just one final question, Eileen. How did you sit with the watch and listen to determine whether a medication worked? You're very methodical about reintroduction of diet.
Yes.
And so I know you know how to watch and listen. I see a lot of clients who are very reactive. If something doesn't work or it doesn't work right away, they're willing to just throw it away, move on to the next thing. And I'm an advocate of the start low, go slow, watch, listen, track. Can you speak into that process?
Yes. Such a big fan of tracking. So symptom diaries are really important. And I've kept one. I actually keep one every day ever since I've been diagnosed. And when I say that, it doesn't take a ton of my time. I just take a couple minutes to kind of check in and see how I'm feeling and keep a note of that. And then once a month, I look back and track changes. And so I had a lot of data before I went on medication. I knew what my baseline was. I even summarized what my baseline was and what my hopes were. Talked about that with my doctor. And then I added my medication one at a time. Doctors often don't like that. They want you to add a lot at once. And so each patient will make their own decision with that one. And then I just paid attention. And in terms of how long to wait when you start to feel bad, it really depends on how dramatic, right? Because a lot of times it's just an adjustment to the medication. Your body's kind of integrating this new change and has to kind of find its baseline. And it can be a little, instead of a linear thing, it can be a little up and down. And that's just your body calibrating. And other times your body does say no very loudly and very strongly. And I think you can tell the difference between those two things. Just don't jump to the conclusion that every tiny negative means a big no. And then the other thing I would say to people is don't assume that if you don't tolerate one medication, then that means you don't tolerate any. I've heard a lot of people jump to that conclusion. And I think it's actually not true for most people. There are a lot of different types of medication within each category, plus there are lots of different categories. And for me, it took, I think, a good year of trial and error before I found what worked for me.
You are one patient. That's what I have to say.
I am. I guess that's true.
And
practitioners will have to help people be patient.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. For the practitioners listening, going through this process with your patients and clients, appreciating that they may go through some ups and downs. And, you know, as a clinician who really looks at what I'm going to call tier two, the deficiencies, we always want to look if we are introducing medication or a practitioner that we're partnering with is introducing medication, understand what deficiencies may be induced by the addition of that medication so that we can make sure the system is fully functional. So that would be my final word. Any final words from you, Eileen?
I agree with that. Some of the medications I took definitely needed supplements to help minimize their side effects. And you all would know, hopefully, really well on how to do that. The one I'm taking now, thankfully, has no side effects for me specifically. So yay.
Yay. Thank you for that brilliance, Eileen. It really is such a huge conversation that creates a lot of stress for patients that I think we don't look at. We look at the stresses of, divorce, moving, all these different lifestyle factors, but the stress of taking meds or not taking meds is a big one we need to be looking at with this patient population. So thank you.
I think it's wonderful you're shining a spotlight on it because I really do think you're going to have more trouble with medication if you don't manage the stress around it.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. We'll be sure to drop into your inbox with a short reminder that a new episode is ready for you. And if you love everything functional medicine and functional nutrition, you will definitely want to get your hands on my new field guide to functional nutrition. I've made the ebook free for you during this new release time, so please do get it while you can. You can get your copy at fxnutritionlab.com/field guide. That's fxnutritionlab.com/field guide. And please do email me. I want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can email me anytime at ask@15minutematrix.com.